Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. I'm John Martin.
And I'm Dean Reverman.
Today on the show, we're going a little bit beyond the basics. Last time, we talked about digital signage 101.
Yep.
Where we kind of gave a little brief introduction to the core components, the hardware, software. We talked about top industries, finding opportunities.
Yep.
Today, we are joined by two folks from Samsung,
yes.
Philip Merced and John McAndrews. They're going to help us dive into beyond the basics of digital signage. What's the skill set required to set up a digital signage solution? What are the content options?
Oh, content is king, my friend.
Exactly. Yeah. As well as enterprise integration. We're going to cover all this stuff, get a little bit deeper in. So if you haven't listened to the 101 podcast, I do recommend you go back and check that one out first. If you're just dipping your toe in the digital signage, you aren't too familiar with it.
Yep.
So it's time for us to plug in and get connected.
Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. It's time to get connected.
All right. As I said, we have two guests today, both from Samsung. They're both technical account managers. First, we have Philip Merced. Philip, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to where you are, what you do day to day at Samsung.
No, definitely. Thank you, guys. First and foremost, I've been with Samsung well over 6 years. Believe it or not, I actually started in mobility my first year. I have a lot of mobility background. I transitioned over to what we call the IT division. All digital signage, all what's relatively good. And I've had a host of different responsibilities and roles. I started over with the salespeople as a support person. Then I kind of transitioned into the channel. I started at the tier two level, you know, with big accounts like CDW, SHI, and so forth, right? And then from that point, I want to say over the last 2.5 years, I really dug deep into distribution or tier one. So my role is to support your business development manager over there to make sure that everything regarding pre-sales, that he has the support he needs and the resources. Many times, as you guys know, I've been at your facilities when times were a lot better to do trainings and give you updates and really get you guys excited about Samsung products and how we can leverage that relationship for future opportunities with your partnerships out there in the field.
Well, I thought he was going to go mobile digital signage. You know, that's like going a level way. That's like 104. That's beyond 101.
That's a future episode.
That's future episode.
John McAndrews is our other guest, also a Samsung senior technical account manager. John, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, yeah. And thanks, Dean and John, for having me join your show. So, as like Phil, I'm going on 6 years. I came in also through the mobility space. Prior to this, I spent 13 years at BlackBerry. Everybody remembers that company, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
And since then, I spent a couple of years in mobility, and then just having a good hardware background, I actually transitioned into our memory unit, specifically supporting our SSD product portfolio, which has grown significantly. And then about 2 years ago, I transferred into the smart signage or digital display. My current role is I'm on the Alliance team. So I'm actually working with third-party vendors to come up with solutions to go to market. One of the things now that's kind of changed is, you know, obviously with the COVID-19, how people are purchasing digital displays has changed a little bit. And I'm working with some of our partners that are actually developing COVID-based solutions. So think of it as when you walk in, you get a temperature scanner, it comes up on one of your displays, gives you a pass or fail, and does secondary screening. And then also working, supporting tier one and two folks as well. You know, helping as a pre-sales role, helping you with, you know, any digital displays that you may be rolling out, because it's no longer just a simple, you know, widget, if you will, that's actually become more of a complex solution, which, you know, in this podcast, we're going to discuss a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you both so much for being on. As I mentioned, we're going to dive into a topic about digital signage beyond the basics. So let's say someone's decided they want to make this move. They understand a little bit about the hardware, software piece. They know what they need to get started. But we want to talk about what does it actually mean to deploy and integrate a digital signage solution. Mm-hmm. So I want to start, Philip, you can start this one off. John, fill in as you want to as well. You know, what would Avar need to incorporate different skills in order to integrate a digital signage solution? Talk about a little bit about what those skills might be.
Sure. Let me start off a little bit, and then John, you could just jump right in, okay? The way I say is you have to qualify the display sale, okay? And the way you do that, I break it down to three pillars: application, environment, and most importantly, the budget. Okay. With that said, right? Let's talk a little bit about some of the application features that we offer, right? Or we think about from the day to day, right? First and foremost, right? You have to determine, okay, is it going to be data? Is it going to be video? Is it going to be a mixture of content, right? What are the resolution requirements? All right. What are the long-term resolution plans? Are they in full HD? Or are they going into, quad or 4K or even 8K moving forward, right? Once again, connections to the display, right? HDMI, display ports, and so forth. Are there going to be switchings involved, right? Or is there going to be a matrix as well? Once again, it could be very simple. It could get very complex, right? The other piece of this is, okay, what is the right display size based on the audience, right? How many viewers are going to need to see this display? What's the end use for this? You know, is it going to be in a storefront? Is it going to be in a conference room? Is it going to be in a college, scenario where the students are doing labs and so forth? The other thing too is, all right, sizing the screen up. All right, who's your closest viewer? Who's the furthest, right? What's the average? Are they obstructions? So there are a lot of variables that have to be decided when you're doing and planning these things out. And then I guess more importantly, right, the environment, right? What's the portion? Is it going to be indoor? Is it outdoor? Meeting room, public space, floor supported, wall mounts, and so forth. So once again, these are very important factors that you really need to talk to the customer to make sure, A, you have the objective that they're looking for, and B, finally, the budget, right? Because this is all about cost, right? So, whatever they want, that's going to dictate how this is going to be developed and so forth. So with that, I'll let John add anything he likes to on that. So.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, and sort of what Dean and John, you guys touched on. So traditionally or old school or previous technologies, basically you would have a display that would be put up on a wall and maybe a nook or something in the back that's actually driving content. It would be set up, it wouldn't be connected, it would just be running over and over. So it would be kind of static content. In today's digital signage era, that's become more complex. For one, you've got displays now, which actually have embedded media players or SOC, system on a chip. So no longer are you actually needing a media player to be able to send that content to it. And then connectivity, because now you do have this SOC or this embedded media player, how are you going to connect it to the network? Which in turn starts to bring other people in. You have your network administrators, people, your security folks, because you're attaching a device now that's actually physically connected to a network, which requires those people to be able to set up the configuration and to be able to connect that in. And then also physically, as Phil mentioned, we have we have a better range of large format displays. We have everything from 43 inch all the way up to 92 inch. So now you start looking at the mechanical aspects of that and how are these going to be installed? Who's going to be doing the installation? Are you going to have to bring in somebody that has experience with hanging these types of displays? Because unlike a consumer grade display, you can't just go down to, Amazon or sorry, order off Amazon or go down to Best Buy and then be able to buy that, the mount for that piece of it. And then lastly, that what you guys point on is content, right? Content is king. Before it was really static, maybe just overplay content. Now we're doing a lot more dynamic content. You have the content management systems to be able to create, a more robust type of image to really capture specific colors. For example, not to mention a name, but a software company that makes, their reds are very important to them. When they deploy digital signage, they want that red to match as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you think about it, what does a VAR need to do or what incorporate, what skills, I think was the original question, right? Do they need to incorporate in order to integrate digital signage systems? The good news, what we just heard from Phil and John, if you ask me, is that a lot of those skills that many of the resellers who are buying from Blue Star today already have in-house are transferable. So connectivity, configuration, installation. They might be doing this in out of a Pro AV environment today, but they are doing those types of things. Digital signage is not this, scientific magical thing out there that is really hard and complex. It's not. So they have a lot of transferable skills there. As Philip was mentioning, maybe they have to augment their skill sets a little bit. Digital display assessment. So being able to walk through the assessment of what digital display is going to be appropriate for the environment and stuff like that. I'm telling you, after they go through a couple of these, if you've never sold digital signage before, after you go through a couple of those, you get it. You know what to start looking for. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, it's this type of environment. you already kind of know what font size is going to work on the screen and those types of things. So you'll really start to get a basic knowledge of that. And again, you're just leveraging some of your existing skills already. The other one is going to be content, where John went there at the end. And, you know, a lot of resellers have programming type of skills on staff already today. And the awesome part there is, and I couldn't agree with John more, a lot of the content has to be dynamic. Some of that is programmed in. It's a little bit of scripting that needs to be incorporated into, and I think we're going there next, into the playlist. A little bit of scripting there that can make it dynamic right there out of the gate.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about those technical needs, that scripting aspect. Yep. You mentioned the playlist.
Yep.
And monitoring service as well. NOC, Network Ops Center. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about that. Like, tell us a little bit more about the behind the scenes when it comes to getting a playlist together, you know, ensuring that content is what's needed, that it's, whether it's dynamic, whether it's changing based on what's happening in the environment at the time. How does that work from your end? How do you coach VARs through that particular scenario?
Sure. So when we're working with VARs for that, one of the things we also, you know, normally do is assisting the VARs is you want to set up with the customer, you want to get who's actually going to be creating that content, right? So if you look at a large enterprise, they're going to have people who are developing content, whether it be for web-based stuff, smart signage and things like that. To be able to get that content firsthand and to be able to look at the content and say, okay, you know, this formatted, you know, because it's formatted at a certain, you know, resolution, how are they going to be deploying the displays? Is it going to be just a landscape display or are they going to put it in portrait? When you change that, the content sort of shifts on that. So we try to work with the VARs to be able to go out and then collect the content to see what they're working with. And then that way the VARs can make, you know, because they're looking at the VARs as a trusted advisor, to make recommendations and say, okay, your content may just be FHD or 1920 by 1080. This type of displays will work for you, but yet let's say that they do have 4K content. There's a little bit of things that need to be configured. So to be work with them to make sure that their content's ready for the display. And then also to look at it, like, how are you going to manage the content? Is the VAR going to take over the content management system, as you mentioned? Are they going to be a cloud-based or a NOC-based to where the customer doesn't have to worry about deploying a CMS system and managing that system? And again, be able to get that content to the VAR to be able to work with that content. And then also you brought up an excellent point, you know, remote management. Anytime you connect a device to any type of network, you're going to want to be able to have control of that device. So when you're working with content, but also working with remote management, let's say you have displays that are being distributed around the, you know, the country. A lot of times these displays may not be physically, you know, easily accessible. So you want to be able to provide, the VARs want to be able to provide their customer base remote management to be able to not only check if that display is connected, but to be able to reset the display. Let's say somebody's gone by and accidentally hit a button or something like that and just changed the configuration, to be able to remotely go in there, change that configuration without physically having to send a tech out there. And again, when you're doing, looking at a NOC base, the big thing is SLAs, right? You want to have a 24/7 uptime, because commercial displays can be used in these types of environments, unlike a traditional consumer display that you have in your house, it may only run for 4 hours.
Yeah, definitely. You know, John, you mentioned an interesting point there that I kind of wanted to elaborate on, which is the idea of, you know, like portrait versus landscape and the way that a digital signage might be deployed and what it's used for. I feel like sometimes when people think of digital signage, they just basically think of more robust TVs. They think, you know, right? Yeah. It's just a television. It's right. Either one, it's maybe a little bit bigger. It might be on a wall. It might be used for something different than just, you know, watching a football game, but it's just a television, right? And realize right. The digital signage can be about a hell of a lot more than that. And there's a lot more places that you're seeing it now. Like, I'm always fascinated when I go to places and see like the column signage, you know, mm-hmm. where it's like a massive column that mm-hmm. may just be nothing more than just some branding, or maybe it's got some, you know, little wayfinding kind of elements to mm-hmm. it. But it's catching your attention. It's out of the corner of your eye, potentially. You might stop and look at it for a moment. It's, you know, and I think that's important for our resellers to realize that, like, don't think of digital signage as just, how do I stick a giant television of sorts?
How do I put
somewhere?
A TV on the wall?
Exactly.
And what do I do with
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. There's yeah. much more to it than that. You know, you hear about, you know, like grocery stores deploying very small digital signage as mm-hmm. shelf talkers, basically, mm-hmm. like, you know, a living shelf talker that can kind of draw your attention to a product, maybe show you a little bit of a demonstration or something mm-hmm. like that while you're standing there. So that's kind of one of my takeaways here is, you know, don't think about this as just a standard deployment of a giant television, but there's a lot more elements to it.
Yeah. And I think from the,
sure, guys, can I just add one more?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, yep. One of the important parts of this too is the actual scheduling of the content. All right. Let's take verticals like retail, QSR, where they have to change things immediately. All right. Based on price, right? Based on product, right? That's a key factor as well. That becomes the whole heritage on the content management system. Okay. When am I playing this? Who's my audience, right? What are the demographics? All right. And that's where content management really becomes key. All right. How do I bring that audience in to ultimately increase my sales or to enhance a user experience? So those are key factors as well that we have to tie in the whole bundle on that. So that's why on-prem, cloud-based, okay, who's managing this content, when, how, where? All right, so that's a key element too, and I just wanted to add that to the conversation.
I agree, Philip, and I'm going to go back to my previous life when I worked for, in essence, a multimedia production company, and this was before digital signage became digital signage, and we started getting into it specifically on that, on those regards, and in the content game, and we didn't know, you know, anything about content, at least for the end users that we were putting it in for. This would be restaurants, this would be large convention centers, things like that. But you have the conversation with folks and you can have that, have the conversation, understand what the content needs are relative to the space. And I guarantee you a lot of our resellers can leverage the type of skill sets that they have internally to get into the scripting and to create the playlist, as Philip was mentioning. Some of them are very, very basic. If you can put a PowerPoint presentation together, you can create a playlist for a digital signage system. Many of them are a little bit more complex, and that's fine too. Again, if you have some skill sets on board that you can get into programming, then the scripting that you can bring to the marketplace is a value add, and you can actually make money off of that. Love where John was going about the whole network operations, the SLA that you would set up. You know, it sounds intimidating, but it's not. You know, you're monitoring displays, you're monitoring content, and you can leverage what you have out there today in order to facilitate those things. These are necessary things that all have to be ironed out once you get into a more sophisticated digital signage system, but they're there, and the opportunity is there as well.
Definitely. Let's talk a little bit about integration, because, Philip, I think you kind of alluded to this in what you just said a moment ago, the idea that, you know, the variables and the dynamics of content may depend on what's actually happening in that facility, mm-hmm. in a retail environment,
right.
in a QSR of some sort. Let's say, you know, inventory is as it's dwindling, might encourage you that you need to change your menu or change what, you know, products are being featured or whatever on the fly to indicate, hey, we're not moving as much inventory for this, or we're running out of this, or we already are out of this, so we can't be displaying information mm-hmm. about that anymore and mm-hmm. encouraging people to come buy hamburgers when we just ran out of beef or something. So, you know, I want you to talk a little bit about the integration piece, because I imagine that has a lot to do with being able to integrate your signage with what's happening in your POS, maybe a back-end ERP or a CRM of some sort, like back-end systems. You know, how does that integration piece work from your end and from what you've experienced? And is there anywhere else that we should be looking to integrate digital signage into existing systems?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, you had excellent points. Like, so look at it from a QSR perspective, how are you going to integrate that into, you know, with whatever type of systems they're using? Also, one thing that we're starting to see prevalent a lot more now is data analytics. And what I mean by that is to be able to, for example, looking at, you know, let's say a retail space, these individuals, or the retail space may have certain individuals that come in, to be able to track where those individuals are going, but not also that being able to track them, but to see, you know, so for example, product A may be getting more visibility than product B. A lot of that data analytics is being integrated into these content management systems so that it can be provided to retails, you know, retail stores. Because, you know, brick and mortar stores right now are, you know, they're having a bit of a challenge, not only with the online marketplaces being very competitive, but also with the unfortunate COVID-19 solution that we're dealing with. I mean, situation, not a solution. Sorry about that. that we're dealing with in 2020. A lot of these, they need to optimize their stores. So they're looking at a combination of data analytics integrated with the CMS to be able to provide that information to them to make education decisions, but then also to take it one step forward using digital displays. So for example, let's say that somebody walks over to counter A, they happen to pick up, let's say perfume, you know, perfume, I don't know, good name, perfume, cool, I don't know. Anyway, right. So they pick it up. It could actually on that digital display be able to provide, you know, information about the specific perfume cool they picked up. And then actually also, let's say they want to do the discount or to be able to offer price. I don't know if, I'm sure we've all been in retail spaces and we pick stuff up and there's no price, you sort of move on to the next product, right? You don't want to go check, run, and find one of those scanners to be able to scan it and then, you know, get the information. So a combination of digital signage with data analytics is really, you know, helping for a retail perspective to really, you know, empower their customer base, but also to improve overall performance on what products are selling, to move products out of the space that might not be as selling as, you know, prevalent as other products.
And what's important there is the customer experience. Go ahead, Philip. Yeah, go ahead, Philip.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a little bit to that too. One of the things that we're working on is like real-time, what we call basket solutions, right? How many items can we put in a basket? Case in point, right? If we put analytics involved with digital signage, we can actually put hooks. So in other words, if a person, let's say, is in a department store and they say they're looking at camping equipment, all of a sudden, if they stay there for a matter of time, let's say more than like 10 or 30 seconds, right? We could trigger alerts that all of a sudden now we'll put something on digital signage that, hey, here's our tents, right? Or here's our canteen lines, you know, and use that information and use it to promote or sell, right, items for other vendors. You know, so once again, you know, you could charge that space and actually have digital signage wrap some, I guess, purchase or some dollars for them to incorporate that as well. Kind of like advertising space. Those type of things are working on too, right? And also, if they get involved with that, we could track, okay, person purchased A, B, and C. Now with artificial intelligence that we're incorporating as well, we'll start remembering these things. So that way, when the customer comes back again, hey, you John Doe purchased this, this, and this. Let's push something out there that maybe allow him to purchase some other things as well. So all these things are happening in real time right now to increase, you know, retail spaces, not only from a profitability, but also understand the demographics of the people that are going in there day by day.
Yeah. So, you know, the integration is absolutely a key point. And we've talked about it before in this podcast. Customer experience is going to be critical, especially when you think about where retail and hospitality is today in the pandemic and coming out of it. You know, the norm now is going to be a premium put on the customer experience. And I think John and Philip have done a really good job of illustrating how digital signage can get very, very technical on the back end, in the playlist, in the integration into ERP systems. That shouldn't be scary. It is just a reality of where I think that that's going, not only at the tier one level that you may see, but I guarantee you SMB markets are going to start seeing this as well, because there's tool sets out there that can help enable that and just kind of connecting these widgets, if you will, and these items through APIs and all these things that are out there. Resellers can definitely get into that and start getting into that game. The dynamic content is going to rule the world moving forward. I did want to touch on one thing, though. You know, when you talk about dynamic content resources, it's one thing you want to be a little bit cautious about some of those things. I'm going to go to like an easier use case where, you know, we would help set up digital signage systems in like, for example, a waiting room of a children's hospital. And we thought, oh, you know what we'll do? We'll integrate like an RSS feed of the local news organization. It seems pretty, you know, pretty straightforward, pretty innocent type of a thing. But lo and behold, after we monitored that RSS feed, they kind of titled some of their news stories as a little bit, you know, like they're talking a lot about death and, you know, and what happened on the highway, right, and all this stuff.
Not
and
too
like,
appropriate for the
environment. That might not be appropriate for people sitting there waiting in a children's, you know, hospital, right, type of waiting room. So you do need to be kind of cautious about that. But again, you know, when you think about the playlist and the types of content that can go into it, what digital signage brings to the table as far as its ability to be very flexible, very dynamic in integration, there's a lot of cool stuff, I guarantee you, that's going to happen with digital signage. No reason not to be involved in it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I think it's interesting. We've talked a lot about these kind of like real-time changes and the things that can happen organically based on what you're doing, maybe in a store, mm-hmm, what you're picking up. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's just basically taking what we already experience on the internet every day, mm-hmm, and putting it into the real world.
Yeah, to a certain degree it is,
yeah,
right?
I mean, how often do you go, like, you happen to be randomly searching for something or looking for a topic, you get on Facebook later, yep, and suddenly there's ads on Facebook related to what you were searching for. Or right, if you're my wife, you swear Facebook is listening to you and then she'll just have a conversation with me about something, get on Facebook and there's ads somewhere about it there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, that happens to us all the time. So what we're talking about here is taking that and bringing it into the real world, where when you're out and about and you're shopping or you're looking at something or you're doing something, that digital signage is potentially sort of keeping an eye on what you're up to or what the customers are up to and reacting accordingly and feeding information and feeding, you know, advertising or direction or nudging you towards something as, you know, to go along with that.
Yeah. And guys, John, maybe you could speak to this a little bit. I know that you guys are getting into other types of technologies that are being now integrated into digital signage, like temperature taking and stuff like that. Talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing kind of in the future there on digital signage and how it might relate to, you know, again, resellers that are selling digital signage today, going a deeper level. What are some areas of opportunity they might start looking into there?
Yeah. So that's an excellent question on that. So right now, like especially with the pandemic that's going on, one of the big things working with our partners is to be able to come up with a solution, as you mentioned, for just basic temperature testing, which we call our Group One solution. So now, you know, when you walk into a Walmart, you have a gentleman sitting there and he's on a tablet and he's taking counts of numbers on that. Some places before, they're actually using a temperature checker. So when you come in, they check your temperature, then they make you use some hand sanitizer. But you have to have somebody that's sitting there doing that. And, you know, it could be in an outdoor environment, it may be harsh conditions. You may not want, you know, have an employee sitting outside for, you know, X number of hours. So what we've done with one partner is we've actually built a stand kiosk that integrates one of our 32-inch displays, but it actually has an IR thermal camera built into it. And these cameras are intelligent, so they could detect the ambient temperature. And basically, it takes the temperature three different times from your forehead. And this is infrared, not like a traditional laser. And so it averages from that, and it's about 0.2 degrees off. So it's a very accurate way. And then you can present them with, you know, a message that says, hey, your temperature is this. Please, you know, practice social distancing, or let's say that they're outside of the range that you set. Hey, you need to go up to secondary screening. So now you have this console. It takes that individual out from having to stand out, but now you actually have a digital display out there as well. So we always talk about, you know, content is king. Not only is this just a real-time display, but let's say that you want to notify them, hey, there's X number of people that are in this store. Now you have that capability because you have a connected display out there that's doing temperature testing and be able to also provide the information to users. We're also working, for example, with some companies that are developing hand sanitizer solutions with a little 13-inch display. Again, getting information out to your customer base, right? Because, you know, people are a little bit cautious or, you know, heading into a grocery store or some retail buyer or QSR. So to just be able to provide a simple number and say, hey, there's X number of places that are currently in the brick and mortar store. And then the consumer can make the decision whether they want to go in or something like that. Or let's say that you're having a special. But again, digital displays providing, you know, healthcare functionality through the hand sanitizer on that. And then we sort of go back into what we call our Group Two solutions. And this is when we come into more of the thermal counters, contact tracing, where people are physically grouping in a location, and things like that. These are a little bit more complex solutions, you know, but they do integrate with CMS. But these are, you know, idea, for example, let's say we're looking at a stadium. A stadium, you know, people may tend to congregate in a certain area. You may need to want to know about that through some security and said, hey, do you guys mind practicing social distancing? But also to be able, you know, again, contact tracing to see where people are moving around in the stadium. How many people have entered the stadium, who's leaving the stadium. So, you know, more of a, you know, integration within the content management system to make real-time decisions through the data that's being provided by these systems.
Which is what I think one of the cool things about where digital signage is going to go post-pandemic is its ability to dynamically show content, reacting to the space that it's within, and you integrate a little bit more technology through the temperature, through the camera, that, you know, so you can see how many people are in the area and run messaging relative to that. That is definitely, that's something that digital signage brings to the table at a deeper level that you can't do with other, like traditional signage and stuff like that. So again, it gets back to the idea that, you know, if a reseller isn't in it today, there are these types of opportunities that are going to be happening out there, deeper dive into digital signage and the use thereof.
Definitely. Philip, I'll let you wrap things up here. Any other interesting applications you've seen come out of the COVID crisis or just stuff kind of coming down the pike that's got your attention right now?
I think right now, and what I've seen, and I don't want to mention timing is everything, but we actually introduced a full line of outdoor displays. I think post-COVID, it's going to just change the landscape beyond what we normally had before traditionally. Normally, I look at a corporate setting where normally everybody would go indoors, conference rooms, and really get in. I think it'll be a lot of outdoor terrace more open space when they introduced customers coming in or customers where they could sit outside. I think at that point, providing an outdoor solution, right, that have IP56 rating, right, in various sizes, I think it's going to immensely enhance that. So normally when they have their meetings and so forth, customers could go in more in the outdoor, maybe feel a lot more secure, a lot more safe. Because I think the next couple of years, I think a lot of people got like this little cloud over their head. It's like, I don't feel comfortable right now. So I think something to that, I think that that's going to open up some other opportunities to think of things out more from an outdoor relative to an indoor scenario.
Yeah, I agree with you, Philip. And can you go a little bit deeper on, to me, that starts the conversation around consumer grade, you know, a type of a display versus a commercial grade type of a display. You know, the type of displays that you guys produce that are built for that, it's got to be on 16 hours a day. It's got to have enough nits to, you know, be able to be seen maybe across a terrace in your example there, or an outdoor type of a thing. So talk to us a little bit about the importance there of squaring up and being able to talk to the differences between consumer versus commercial.
Great question, right? Once again, you know, commercial grade, normally you have minimal inputs. You know, normally it's just the HDMI, all right? And I'll talk a little more about the terrace. I'll talk a little bit about the outdoor. It's a prosumer. It's right in between commercial and consumer. So what we did was we allowed additional ports, RS45 display ports, right? On top of the HDMI ports, that relative to give that customer whatever they need to push the content at the end of the day. Second, right, I mentioned IP rating, right? But with that, the nits, right, or the brightness. Normally on a traditional consumer model, anywhere between 200 to 250, all right, our towers right now is 1,000 nits. So it's ultra bright. Why? Because it has to fight off the sun, bar none, right? Anti-glare, all right? Once again, content is king. How clear is that message that people can see? How clear can you put that presentation or whatever document that you're putting up there where you the audience can see properly well, right? More importantly is the warranty, all right? All consumers is 1 year. Our prosumers come out 3 years, all right, with an operation rate, and you mentioned it before, 16x7, which is a normal day operation. Why? Because at the end of the day, you don't want that screen start dimming over time. You keep burning that image in as a consumer model, you know. And just a side note, when things were well and we used to go to a local sports bar and you saw all those displays that were all consumer, you knew which ones were dim because, you know, some were real clear, some weren't, you know, because once again, they're using consumer models, right? With the prosumer, you don't have that issue anymore. We're very excited. It's something that we haven't had in our portfolio, I want to say, during my time here, at least 3 or 4 years. So once again, all about timing, right place, right time, right? When it comes to the marketplace, you know, especially during COVID right now, all right, a value proposition is budget again, right? How much budget do I have? I think we offer a good product at a very reasonable rate.
Yeah, so going back to the beginning here and where Philip was going there is, you know, the display assessment. Okay, some of that might seem a little daunting right now. If you're not in the display world, you know, you might not. You want to make sure that you're giving your customer the right advice along the way. Well, here's the good news. Blue Star is there. Good folks like Philip and John are there to answer these questions for resellers so that they can go in with the right product mix. But if you have that display assessment conversation early and you understand what the environment is and get those bullet points, these guys can help you make the right pick and so that you come out the hero from a hardware perspective, right? Our folks already know how to do connectivity. They already know how to do configuration, installation. You need a little help on the display side, we got it here for you.
Definitely.
You know, this sounds a little bit about like what we're going to talk about in the value of the VAR and answering that question.
There you go.
But before we do that, I first of all want to thank John and Philip for your insight on this conversation. You guys have presented some great points, and I think we've got a nice little deeper dive into digital signage. I have a feeling we'll still keep doing this a little bit more. There's a lot more angles you can get into in all things digital
signage. There's more. There's more. Yeah.
So before we shift over to those recurring segments, I do want to thank our founding members, Zebra, Honeywell, Elo, Epson, Star Micronics, and of course, thanks to Samsung. Young for loaning these two out to us today to talk about digital signage. We appreciate their help and their guidance. We couldn't do this without them.
Yeah, no doubt.
For anyone who's listening, if you are interested in learning a little bit more about digital signage, if you have some questions or some comments, you can reach out to us on Twitter. That's at TechConnectPod. Mm-hmm. You can email us, techconnect@bluestarinc.com. And hey, if you're subscribing on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating review. Feel free to put some comments in there, ask some questions. We might read some of those on the air. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you think of the show. All right, as I mentioned, we've got our two recurring segments. That is Value to the VAR and Tech Connecting with Us.
Yes,
we're going to start with the Value to the VAR. And I'm actually going to ask the same question that we asked the last time we talked about digital signage, because I want to hear what Philip and John's takes on this is.
All right.
Why do you think VARs should get involved in digital signage?
Well, for one, it's not for digital signage. It's no longer just a simple process, right? It's a very complex process, because no longer is it just a widget with something that's sitting behind there, seen and enforced, with it being very static content or something that's playing over and over. Now, with, you know, again, with the integration of media players onto these displays, the creation of dynamic content, the connectivity of these displays, it becomes a much more complex process, but you, from a VAR perspective, to be able to work with their customers to get in early, to, you know, understand, do a digital assessment, as you stated, to be able to make the proper recommendations, and again, become, you know, the technical advisor for your customer, so that when they look forward to do other types of digital displays, whether it be just LFDs or video walls, or even better, getting into direct view LED technology, you'll be the VAR for them to come to for these types of solutions.
Awesome, Philip. What about you? What do you think?
Okay, I'm going to give it a little different spin. Okay, I'm going to give you some numbers and some facts here. Okay, first and foremost, maybe the audience knows this, maybe not, but believe it or not, during this time right now in 2020, over 55% of the workforce are either millennials or Gen Zs. Okay, I feel like a dinosaur right now, but you know, this demographics are accustomed, because they grew up with technology. They expect technology. And the only thing that's going to happen here is that digital signage just changes the customer's behavior because of these demographics, and it continues to drive sales and customer engagements. Why? Because 63% of the people say that digital signage really captures their attention. And because of that, 4 or 5 people that go into a store would increase 33% in sales after adopting the digital signage. All right? That's huge. Right. And once again, customers, digital signage is almost 47% effectiveness rate for brand awareness. In other words, if people are not into digital signage, they're missing the boat. Like I always tell my customers, hey, if you're not doing it, your competitor is doing that. So once again, what that brings to the bars is more profits and more inquiries about digital signage, because everybody's adapting to this, right? And we didn't talk about a little bit about our BET series, all right, as far as a prosumer. But once again, that allows a customer to actually perform digital content right from their phone or from their tablet. Peer-to-peer, quick, simple digital signage. Why? Because once again, people expect that. 62% of the people adopt to that, almost 400 views more than static displays, all right? We live in the world of digital signage. We have to adapt to that. And because we adapt to that, the VARs are in a great shape to really increase their revenue and their sales point because of that.
I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, I think we talked about it the last time, the cost of implementing a digital signage system today compared to 5, 10, 15 years ago, dramatically different. That used to be a real barrier to entry for digital signage, is, you know, just the cost associated to the infrastructure. It's really been mitigated now. So there's opportunities. Love the fact, Philip, that you brought up the statistics around, you know, the effectiveness of digital signage compared to, you know, static signage and or no signage. Well, when you think about it, though, why should a VAR get into digital signage? Look, for me, it goes back to some of the standard stuff. Complementary skills, right? They already have, if they're not in digital signage or pro AV today, I guarantee you they have some complementary skills on their staff right now that can parlay that into digital signage very, very quickly. Number two, it's easier to get into than you think it is. I know we dug a little bit deep on some topics here, and maybe you know, you talk about the integration into ERPs and stuff like that. Look, it's not rocket science. It is easier to get into than you think it is. And Philip, I'm going to throw another thing on the table that I think that resellers can make money on, and that is managed services. We talked a little bit about the NOC and stuff like that, but I'm telling you, if you get good at this, and it doesn't take long to get good at this, within a year's time, I think that any reseller could put on their rate card services as it relates to managing digital signage, whether it's the content, whether it's the displays. We started just that simple. We had a NOC, which was nothing more than a guy in a computer that was telling our customers, hey, you know, this display is no longer connected or something like that, or we're going to upload a new playlist to that one. I'm telling you, it's easy to do. It's a lot easier than you think it is to do.
Yeah definitely. And Philip, I completely appreciate also the stats you threw out there. I'm a big stat guy. I love when you can when you can back something up with some good statistics. You know, something else I want to mention, Philip, that you pointed out a little bit earlier was when you were talking about the idea of what happens next. And, you know, I feel like there's always a lot of conversation about what are we doing post-COVID when all this is over with. But I feel like we're getting to the point where we have to stop talking about when this is over with.
Right.
Because for one thing, it's not going to be as soon as anyone thinks. You know, I just saw some the other day that even with a vaccine in the next couple of months potentially arriving, we're still looking at least the end of 2021 before we can all feel comfortable just living life the way we did before, where enough people have done it in order to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be stuff where you're slowly moving back into that normal space, but you've still got a significant number of people that are going to be a little bit hesitant to go, like you said, sit in a conference room with 20 other people for, you know, several hours, or sit in a restaurant all day long with a bunch of people and not be distanced enough. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want people to get back to doing some of these things again, you're going to have to find ways to do it differently and to you know, do something unique and different. If you aren't already, you need to be. And I think that's where there's some opportunity for VARs right now to go to some of these customers and say, hey, look, if you're sitting here thinking about, like, what are you going to do when this is over with, that still could be a ways down the road, and you might be losing a lot of money in business in the meantime. So let's talk about what we can do now that might attract people to come back when they start feeling a bit more comfortable, and yet still accommodate those who aren't comfortable yet.
Hey, and look, we all have kind of a sales background. Who's the easiest person to sell to? Somebody who's already bought from you in the past, right? And
exactly.
So, yeah, you're just introducing them to something, new repertoire.
Yep. Definitely. Well, for our final segment here, we're going to do our favorite part of the show. That's What's Tech Connecting With You. This is where we go around the horn, talk a little bit about a piece of technology. Could be an app, could be a game, could be a podcast, something cool or interesting maybe we've been reading about or are following. Just want to learn what's tech connecting with you right now. So, John, I'll let you start. What is tech connecting with you right now?
Okay. So, happen to come from the SSD world. We're actually coming through some new revolution technology that will be launched here in 2020. So we're all familiar with traditional hard drives, right? It was a spinning platter, use SATA to connect. Then we sort of did, which I think an industry huge transition was moved into, you know, our SATA SSDs. So these were the ones using existing hard drive connections, and then we connected into SATA. Improved performance greatly. You could take an old Windows PC, pull out that traditional hard drive, put the new one in, and it was like a brand new PC. Next evolution on that was using the PCIe bus, similar to what your high-end video cards use today. It sort of moved us away from that bottleneck that we had with previous SATA SSDs. So you had higher throughput. So you had these SSDs, and then on top of that, you had NVMe, which was the non-volatile memory express, sort of the next generation stuff that was coming out. Improved performance, higher writes, higher reads, just better overall SSDs. Now, within 2020, we have the latest standard on this, which is called PCIe 4.0. Samsung will actually be launching an SSD that supports this. This is really a game changer because now you're getting up into speeds of 7,000 megabits for reads, 6,500 megabits for writes. It's a dual channel, leveraging that high-end bus channel that your video cards use today. So now you actually have manufacturers like Sony and Microsoft, which will be launching out new game consoles that come out in the end of the year. They're going to support this standard. So what that means, no longer you can have delays in anything. So it's really revolutionized the basic PC that we use today, because, you know, we had advances with CPU, we had advances with memory, we had massive advances with graphic cards, but the hard drives or your storage capability always kind of lag. So this new PCIe 4.0 Express that's coming out, it's really going to revolutionize and be a game changer. But also, when you look at high-end workstations, let's say you're doing AI or things like that, to where you need high compute power, these things will be able to support that. So I'm looking forward for these to come out. Can't wait to get my hands on one, upgrade my system, and install it and be ready to go.
See, I'm not surprised by this because John is sitting in a gaming chair right now. And when you have a gaming chair, you clearly are someone who appreciates power, specs.
Yes.
You know, you have an appreciation for these kind of details.
Yes.
So if that went over the heads of anybody listening, I guarantee you're probably not a hardcore gamer. I admit I'm not anymore either. I used to be, but I'm not anymore. But I do definitely appreciate that kind of technology.
Absolutely.
Philip, what's tech connecting with you right now?
Absolutely. Right now, I'm big on emerging technology. The big thing right now, it's micro LED. I mean, traditionally over the last couple of years, we've had direct view LED, taking that vision from outdoors to indoors. I call it video wall without borders, right? Bezel-less, right? We take it to a step further, and we actually introduced at Samsung what we call the wall. And we actually have a home version of this, right? So this tech actually really brings detail to life through superior color, more than conventional LED can ever imagine, right? It almost gives you a 3D effect for a very impactful visual experience, right? That I want to enjoy every image from a live events to those big blockbuster movies at home on a bigger, brighter, and broader scale, all right? So picture this, man, and I'm looking at this maybe by the end of the decade, that instead of going into a traditional appliance store and ordering a TV, you can order it and you can build it by scale. I want 146-inch. I want a 200-inch, okay? I want to fill up my man cave, so to speak, right? To true dynamic bezel-less design that really allows a seamless bend around my surroundings. It gives you that real modern look, eliminating anything that's unnecessary, right? In your home that you have ultimate control, which means you only see what you want to see, all right? And I see that happening. It's just a matter of time and price, right? As prices go down, we see that. Picture yourself, you know, in a full-scale, wall-to-wall, full envision of your favorite video movie, all right, or a sport event. You know, football season just started, as you know, right? I'm big in football. I can imagine my man cave wall-to-wall, right, with this micro LED technology. And that's really getting me excited right now because I've seen it. You know, we have that in our executive briefing centers. So I've seen it live. I see how impactful that could be. And I think that's the evolution of us visually things, you know, on a personal level.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Boy, I like your tech connecting because I think who doesn't want micro LED on their wall, you know, so that I can I can't be at the football game this year. You know, I can't be there. But man, if I had one of those on my wall, Philip, I'd feel like I was really at the game, wouldn't I? All right.
Absolutely, man. You'll have your big finger in everything, you know?
Well, what are they doing in I don't think they're doing football, but they did it in NBA this year during the playoffs or in the run up to the playoffs where they have like the digital fans.
Oh, right.
So they actually had some of that in there. So I mean, I could see that being something too where you incorporate into those giant displays where you know, it's also like taking a picture of you and broadcasting that into the stadium somewhere, you know, where people can see you on the sidelines or something. That could get dangerous, but you know. You have to have somebody managing that, but it'd be pretty cool though, you know.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Dean, what's that connecting with you?
Well,
right now?
So I got a phrase for you: digital networking. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I wasn't a road warrior, but I was certainly on the road. You know, getting and meeting people, and it is very challenging during a pandemic to network, right? So now digital networking is becoming the buzzword, if you will, and really it's not much more than making sure you're sharp on LinkedIn and reaching out to people and trying to still engage with folks through now digital means. And I think that that's going to manifest itself in companies doing a lot of innovative stuff to try to keep networking relevant because it is relevant. You know, how do you go out and meet your next partner, your next software company that you're going to partner with or whatever? You need to have that networking ability to do that. It's kind of like why we're doing Tech Connect Live, which is something we got coming up where we're going to have ISVs and software companies to give 2-minute pitches. And then after that, you can network with those software development companies. So anyway, digital networking, I don't know. It's rattling around in my brain because we got to figure that out as a society. If I can't go to an event and I can't see Philip and John and shake their hand and, you know, figure out the best way to grow my business, I got to figure that out digitally.
Yeah, look at you throwing in an ad for Tech Connect Live here in the middle.
Oh, I know, right? Well, yeah. Got to do that, too.
I caught that, yeah. All right, so my tech connecting, I'm going to read you a headline that kind of terrified me, especially as I started thinking about it.
All right.
Robot dogs join U.S. Air Force exercise, giving glimpse at potential battlefield of the future.
Yes.
So I think most of us remember, you know, a few years back, Boston Dynamics and the Spot, the robot dog that they invented, which I found kind of creepy anyway, just – just the unnaturalness of the
wasn't it like a headless thing, but it was like the body
it moves,
and the, yeah,
like the bent legs. Like there was something weird and creepy about that anyway. So I found that kind of crazy. Well, also in the time since then, I don't know if anybody is familiar with the show Black Mirror. It's a Netflix show that kind of explores like sort of sci-fi elements that are really embedded in our current technology reality, like where our technology could go and get into dangerous places. And there is an entire episode that's all about this kind of post-apocalyptic world where there's this woman on the run from one of these robot dogs that has been weaponized and basically exists to hunt down and kill humans.
Oh, great.
So I read this article. I'm like, oh my God, we're heading direction now. Yeah. And of course, the military is involved. They're trying to figure out how they can weaponize these. But like the initial, you know, idea behind using them in the battlefield is that they can be something that can go do reconnaissance or go scout out the enemy, go look at things in potentially dangerous situations that you wouldn't want to send a troop into before they know what to expect. So these little dogs can potentially go running out there, you know, check things out, take some video, get you some scans, get some information you need in order to, you know, in order to safely send troops in after the fact, which is very beneficial, obviously. That can be hugely beneficial. And they're going to be built, you know, to withstand a lot of, you know, potential wear and tear themselves. But I'm also thinking, I'm reading this, like, come on, you know, at some point we're going to stick a gun on one of those things. We're going to find a way to figure out how you can just walk one of those things right into a compound.
Yeah, and it's going
to
happen.
It can take, you know, gunfire from, you know, 30 people and yet still manage to wipe all of them out too. And starts getting a little bit scary. And that's when I started thinking about that episode. I'm like, oh, great. We're all going to be hunted down by robot dogs now in the future.
I mean, I'm not into the military, but I do know that it's you know, I don't know if you remember, but back in the day, we used to talk about how air power alone maybe could win a war. But what we've learned through some of the wars that we've been through in the U.S., you can't. At the end of the road, it takes boots on the ground in order to go in and do what they have to do. So I see a, you know, robotic dog. Unfortunately, I see a role for that there. I don't know, man. It's like we've been talking about cyborgs. We've been talking about robotics. And are we going to be around in 20 years from now?
I don't know. I feel like every time we start talking about some new technology, there's always a way it can go wrong and end up wiping us all out. But I guess we've survived this long. We haven't wiped ourselves out yet, but you know,
we'll be good.
But we're also just getting smarter and smarter with our technology too, and making it smarter and smarter. So
true.
So that's what's Tech Connecting with us this week. It is time for us to unplug. John, Philip, I want to thank you both so much for joining us on the show today. We appreciate your insight.
Our pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Thank you, Dean and John. And thanks for having us on Tech Connect.
Sure.
Yep.
Thank you. So for Dean Reverman, I'm John Martin. Until next time, stay connected. The Tech Connect podcast is brought to you by Samsung. Bring stunning beauty to the great outdoors. The Samsung BHT 55-inch Pro TV Terrace Edition, designed for shaded outdoor environments, offers an IP55 weatherproof rating so guests outside can enjoy the same entertainment and messaging as guests inside. QLED 4K picture quality ensures incredible picture imagery and breathtaking color, while 1500 nit brightness and anti-reflection technology provide visibility regardless of sunlight. Play the content your customers want, including TV programming, or use the Samsung Business TV app to upload content right from your phone or tablet in three easy steps. It's designed for 16/7 operating time, while a 3-year warranty adds peace of mind. To learn more, contact your Blue Star Samsung representative.